Our reading for today is from Luke chapter 18. He also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. O Lord, have mercy on us. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son.
August 17, 2018 is the date my wife and I have been waiting for 9 months. Today is the due date of our fourth grandchild, of our daughter Rebecca and her husband Tim. No news yet. You just got done singing some very important words. You had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. When my wife and I have our devotions each morning, we pray nearly every day that our children and our grandchildren would know Jesus Christ and believe in him, and that we would all be reunited in heaven on the last day. But how does this happen? How do we get saved? How do we get to heaven? Some would say that the church is way past this question and that justification and righteousness is 16th century church talk. Some would say that we don't need to blow the dust off the Augsburg Confession of 1530 that says this: "Our churches teach that people cannot be justified before God by their own strength, merit, or works. People are freely justified for Christ's sake through faith when they believe that they are received into favor and that their sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. By his death, Christ made satisfaction for our sins. God counts this faith for righteousness in his sight." If it is true that being saved only through the merits of Jesus Christ is outdated teaching of the church, then I suppose this parable for today of the Pharisee and the tax collector is also then outdated. Perhaps Jesus would have been wiser to talk about all the different ways that the Pharisee and the tax collector could channel their own God for their own salvation. Or if he would only talk to them more about what it means to be a disciple and that they could earn their own way of salvation by their own sanctified deeds, then maybe he would be a little more relevant with the day. Like God, the Holy Scriptures are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this eternal Word of God says this: we are sinners, and only Christ can make us righteous, to save us from eternal damnation into eternal life with Christ. The ageless truth is this: every one of us here today, everyone listening on the radio, and every human being in all the world is unrighteous. We need salvation, and there's no one that can save us except Christ alone. In the verse just before the reading today, Luke 18:8, Jesus asks a sobering question. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? Oh, he'll find faith, all right. It'll be in ourselves, like the Pharisees. The Pharisees have their roots in Israel's return from Babylonian captivity around 517 BC. They were tired of falling into sin and being banished to foreign lands like Egypt and Assyria, Babylon, dispersed throughout the world. And so when this group got back to Jerusalem after 70 years in Babylon, they were determined that they would not be banished again by their sins. And so they developed man-made laws, about 613 of them, a fence around the Ten Commandments. Guard the fence, guard the commandments. Keep the law, make yourself righteous, and save yourself. That's why our prideful Pharisee stands pompously in the temple today, bold in the presence of God, head held high, and telling God that he does not sin. He is not like the other people. He does not take anything from others. He is not unjust. He does not commit adultery. He fasts twice a week, and he gives a tithe of his income to the Lord. And if by chance he has missed the mark here or there, at least he's not as bad as that tax collector over there in hiding in the corner. At least I'm not as sinful as he is. I wonder if this Pharisee happened to be up in Galilee area when Jesus was preaching the Sermon on the Mount. He would have heard words like this: beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Or these words: but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery. Or maybe these words: do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Might St. John have this Pharisee in mind and the rest of the Pharisees when he says these words? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If righteousness, justification before God, and the forgiveness of sins is outdated and locked behind the doors of the Reformation, then I suppose sin, eternal death, and hell are outdated and obsolete too. Or if it's mostly outdated, then maybe, or just maybe, our own righteousness can save us after all. Maybe the fact that we don't sin so much, or at least we don't sin as much as the really bad sinners, then we can rest on our own laurels. Right? And then there is the tax collector. Now here's a question for you. Which is the greater sinner, the Pharisee or the tax collector? Wrong question. They're both greater sinners. In the words of James, for whoever keeps the law, whole law, but fails in one point has become accountable for it all. The tax collector was a sinner. He did extort money from the taxpayers above and beyond the taxes due in order to pad his own pockets. So what makes the tax collector any different than the Pharisee? The tax collector acknowledges his sin. He stands far off from his holy God. What sinner can stand in the presence of God and look upon God's face and live? His posture and his actions are all the signs of a contrite, repentant sinner. And he throws himself at the mercy of God. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, let's don't get confused. Standing far off from God does not save the tax collector. Visible signs of remorse are not the tax collector's salvation. His repentant plea is not his forgiveness either. This tax collector's humility does not make him righteous before God. Nothing this tax collector can say or do can save himself. Rather, he throws himself at the mercy of God. Mercy, which is all God's own doing. God's mercy, and God's mercy alone, is that which saves us all. It's good to hear it again, isn't it? Only Christ can make us righteous. This parable is not about the Pharisee. It's not about the tax collector. This parable is about Jesus Christ, who alone makes us righteous. Who alone can claim sinlessness? Only Jesus Christ, begotten of the Father from all eternity. The Word made flesh comes to dwell among us as the perfect God-man. He alone can stand before the Father and claim perfection and purity and holiness and righteousness. But in the place of us all, he comes to stand far off from God the Father. He is forsaken by the Father, and he takes the punishment of our hell and sin in our place. Look at him. He became sin, who knew no sin, and poured God's own righteousness over each and every one of us in the waters of our own baptism, making us fit for heaven. He comes to be like other men. Here is the extortioner. Here is the adulterer. Here is the Pharisee and the tax collector. Here is the sinner in the place of all sinners. The exalted God becomes the humble servant, riding on a donkey, his flesh beaten and whipped, humiliated in order to exalt each and every one of us as the Son of God, brought back into his eternal presence. Jesus gives this parabolic tax collector beautiful words of faith. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's what God wants all of us to say. Be merciful to me. Propitiate me. Do to me what I cannot do, even in part. Do to me what I cannot do with any work or posture of my own. Do to me what I cannot do ever. Save this sinner. Save this one who can do nothing but sin. Save this one who has every inclination to sin every time. Save this Pharisee. Save this tax collector. Let your grace be turned toward me. And in spite of my wretched state, forgive me and give me eternal life. And Jesus speaks us righteous. He pardons you and he takes away all of your sins and mine. And he does this every Lord's Day as well by feeding us with his body and his blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sin. He makes us right with God through his own death and resurrection. He justifies us. Oh, how great is his compassion. In the depth of degradation, he had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. The good news of Jesus Christ never goes out of style. It is never outdated. It will never be replaced with something better. Because there is no greater news than this timeless truth for you, your children, your grandchildren, and all creation. Now, just one more thought. I'd be amiss if I didn't mention Johann Gerhard today, for which this day is commemorated in the Lutheran Church. Gerhard was a masterful Lutheran theologian during the Age of Orthodoxy. He lived between Luther and J.S. Bach. Concordia Publishing House is publishing his great works, edited chiefly by Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Seminary in Fort Wayne, along with Heath Curtis and Joshua Hayes. They're doing great work. The tax collector was a repentant sinner, trusting in the mercy of God. And Johann Gerhard says this about repentance. Repentance has these two limits. The starting point is sins and a badly conducted life. From the consideration of them, come grief and contrition. The ending point is God, confidence in his mercy, promise for Christ, the mediator's sake, lifts a man's heart. Timeless is the saving gospel of Jesus Christ for you. Dear Christian, this is our eternal comfort and joy. Only Christ can make us righteous. And he has done it. Amen.